Let's listen to the word of God. Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 12. Last Sunday night, as we looked at the verses previous in Luke chapter 22, we were asking ourselves a very important question, and it was this: are we following afar off? We looked at the life of Simon Peter, his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gave each of us an opportunity to test our spiritual temperature. Because over these past few weeks, we've been reminded of some very important and some very serious matters. It's possible, like Judas Iscariot, to act like a Christian and yet not actually belong to Christ. It's possible to be a Christian and yet to live a life that is out of fellowship with God. And when we thought of Peter, we looked at him and saw this man prepared to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he didn't know the true state of his own heart. We read that Peter followed Christ afar off. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ on three occasions. But because he did that, it wasn't the end of it. His fall was tragic, but he was restored to Christ, and we know that when we look at this man and the life of the early church, and his restoration at the Sea of Galilee led to days of great victory and much blessing in his life. Maybe tonight you're here and you're a Christian and you're following afar off. You're not in the place where you once were. You know it. Nobody needs to tell you that, because as you look at your life and your own walk with God, you understand that there are things that are lacking, and perhaps the spark is no longer there. And maybe like Peter, you're following afar off. Well, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to restore you, and he wants to lead you at the days of victory and blessing again in your life. But tonight we come to the verses we have read together here in Luke 23, and we're going to note the solemnity of the Savior's silence. As we come to these closing chapters in Luke's Gospel, we note here that we're beginning to look at some of these great Bible characters that are associated not just with the ministry, but also with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. People that he came across who had an important part to play in the Savior's ministry, and then hence his death. You and I know that King Herod is a very interesting character. We know also from our reading of God's Word, there are many Herods referred to in Scripture, but this particular man is Herod Antipas. He had been made tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, This is the same man who was infatuated with his brother's wife and who had been rebuked by John the Baptist. And in a night of folly and frivolity, remember that he had given the head of John the Baptist to the daughter of Herodias. And if you were to look at history and think about this man, you would discover he was a very cruel and a very insensitive man. But in our reading tonight, we discover that first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before Pontius Pilate. We'll come to him in another study. But he's been brought before Pontius Pilate, and when Pontius Pilate, not knowing what to do with this man because he could find no fault in him, when he heard that Jesus was a Galilean, he proceeded to send him to Herod, because after all, that was Herod's jurisdiction. And then when we see Jesus meet with Herod, it becomes a very interesting confrontation. Let me mention very quickly and simply tonight three things. You'll note here that Luke tells us about the reasons why Herod wanted to meet Christ. Sometimes today we talk to people about our faith in Jesus Christ and we try to explain to them very simply and personally the gospel of God's grace. And when we mention the name of Jesus Christ, they want nothing to do with him. They would rather we didn't even speak about him. They have no desire whatsoever concerning him. But when you come to Herod tonight, it's a little bit different. This man was desirous to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. For look at what we read here in verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He'd always longed to meet Jesus Christ, and now that Jesus Christ has come, there's no fear in Herod's life. Because Jesus is coming to him, not as the man who was turning Galilee upside down, but he's coming now to Herod as a prisoner from Pilate's court. Why on earth would he want to meet Jesus? Well, Luke tells us. The first is simple. He was greatly interested in what he had heard. For it says here he had heard many things of him. That's not strange. Because as you and I follow through the accounts of the Gospels, we can see that by now the Lord Jesus Christ has risen greatly in popularity. Many of the people were amazed at this man, not just with the things that he had taught. They were amazed at the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And his fame was being spread abroad, and multitudes wanted to meet him, and they wanted to see him. And such was Herod's position. He would have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have been thinking about the reports brought to him daily concerning this man from Galilee. He knew that the people were excited. He knew that there was great emotion concerning this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And so it was that he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. But you know something? He also wanted to see Jesus at work. He wanted to see Jesus at work. It says Herod hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod was a very strange man. And in a very strange way, he was fascinated by what he had heard, curious at the message that had penetrated his courts, and he wanted to see Jesus Christ doing something marvelous and something miraculous. But Herod got it wrong. He didn't recognize Jesus Christ for who he really was. He didn't grasp what Jesus Christ had come to do. As far as the ministry of Jesus Christ is concerned, he never performed miracles for the sake of it. He was not a magician. He didn't just submit to the whims of the people who asked to see something. He didn't submit to the demands of his audience. He was not a magician. The miracles that Jesus Christ did were to authenticate who he really was. They were the evidence that he was the Messiah, the chosen one, the one whom God had sent into the world to be the Savior. He was the one whom the prophets had spoken about. And now he's here and he's living amongst them and he's ministering to them and he's performing miracles that authenticate everything that he said he was. And yet, Herod didn't grasp who he was and he didn't understand what Jesus Christ had come to do. And maybe tonight, despite months or perhaps years of sitting under the sound of the gospel, you find yourself in exactly the same place. It's not that you've never heard of Jesus Christ, because you have. It's not that you haven't read about Jesus Christ, because you've so often sat down perhaps and you've read the Bible. It's not that you don't understand the things that Jesus did during his earthly ministry. It's just the fact that tonight you can't see him for who he really is. Perhaps to you he's just a good man. A man whose life is worth following, because after all, he has left an example for us to follow. Or maybe tonight you see him as an ethical teacher, one whose words we should try to apply to our everyday living. Perhaps for you he's just a figure of history. You know about him, you know what's said about him is true. You know he had an important role to play in history. And that's good and that's true. But if you're ever going to have salvation, you need to see him far more than that. You need to understand who he is and what he came to do. We're talking tonight about the eternal Son of God. We're talking about the one who one day stepped from eternity into time, who came as a babe to Bethlehem's manger. We'll soon be thinking about that, God willing, in the next few weeks. And this one who came as a babe into Bethlehem's manger, he one day went to the cross at Calvary, and there he died for the sin of the world. This is the one who was taken at the hands of cruel men and crucified on a cross and then taken from the cross, buried in a tomb. The one who rose again triumphantly over death, who ascended to heaven and who lives in the power of an endless life. This is who we're talking about. We're not talking just about a good man, an ethical teacher. We're not just talking about a man who had an important part to play in the history of the world. We're talking about the only Savior for sinners like us. The one who died that we might live. The one who lives tonight that we need never die. This is the one that you need to know. And you don't need to know just things about him. You need to know him as your Savior. In other words, you need to know him savingly. And you need to know him personally. Because that's the only way you'll ever know him eternally. Can I ask you a question tonight? How do you see the Lord Jesus? One commentator says this of Herod. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a mere sight to be stared at, instead of a king and a savior who needed to be submitted to. And I just ask you a very simple question. I wonder how you see him tonight. The reasons why he wanted to see Christ. Look at the reaction that he made to Christ. If you follow this story carefully, you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ has no intention of satisfying the curiosity of this wicked man. I say again, he never performed miracles for the sake of it. And so it's not long until Herod begins to lose interest in his prisoner. You look at the story here. I won't take you through it in detail because it's self-explanatory. Look at verse 11. Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the first thing that Herod does with the Lord Jesus Christ is he belittles him. Here's Herod standing with all his mighty men of war and he begins to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They accuse him of all kinds of things. They have him arrayed in a gorgeous robe. They're playing with him, to use an Ulsterism. They're toying with him. They're having a real good laugh at his expense. They've put on an imitation robe. They've got him to pretend that he's a king. The sad thing is they never took Jesus Christ seriously. And yet little did they know that they were in the presence of the Son of God. They're looking at this man before them who had come to redeem them from their sin. And the only thing they were interested in was to engage in horseplay at the Savior's expense. He belittled Christ. Do you know the second thing he did? He disposed of Christ. For having had his fun, these words are written down for us: Herod sent him again to Pilate. Well, he'd had his fun. He had watched this man whom others had said was the King of the Jews, and he had watched him in this gorgeous purple robe, making fun of him, belittling him in the presence of his mighty men. And when he'd had his fun and he'd had his day, he took the Lord Jesus Christ and he sent him back to Pilate. He simply disposed of him. He wanted nothing to do with Christ. Now let's be honest. And let's deal with this matter very, very personally. Is it tonight that you sit in this meeting, and when everything is said and done, you feel exactly the same as Herod? You want nothing to do with Christ. Oh yes, you know about him. And you've sat in Sunday school, in a Christian home, at a youth meeting, in Sunday services for years. And you've listened as one preacher after another, one Sunday school after another teacher tells you about the love of God and Christ and how he came to save you from your sin. But when you think it through, your attitude is simply this: I will not have this man to rule over me. I want nothing to do with Christ. Because that's how Herod was. And perhaps that's where you are just now. Well, if that's where you are just now, could I say this to you for the good of your soul? You need to stop. And you need to think about what you're doing with Jesus Christ. You say to me, why? Pastor, is it really that important to me? Well, if I told you this, that without Christ, you're without hope, would that be important? If I told you tonight, without Christ as your Savior, you'll perish in your sin, would you deem that to be important? If I told you tonight, without Jesus Christ and his salvation, you'll end up in the depth of a lost and undone eternity, would that deem to be important? You need to think very seriously about your soul before you decide to dispose of Christ. You cannot afford to reject him. You cannot afford to turn your back on his invitation. You certainly cannot live without him, and you dare not die without him. Because if you do, you'll live to regret it eternally. If there's anything you learn tonight from Herod, learn this. It's a terrible thing to turn your back on Jesus Christ. Why? Well, the reasons why he wanted to see Christ, the reaction that he made to Christ, look at the response that he got from Christ. Before all the fun and all the horseplay, Herod had sought to ask the Lord Jesus Christ many questions. Many people done so, of course, throughout his ministry. They'd received important answers to their questions. This time it's different. Because look at what we read in verse 9. Then Herod questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Nothing. Herod asked the questions. And in the part of the Savior there is no response. I mean, Herod's the king. He demands answers. This man has been brought to him from Pilate because his life is under threat. People are baying for his blood. Herod might be able to have him. And he turns around and he asks the Lord Jesus Christ questions, and Jesus answered him nothing. Nothing. Not a word. Jesus was unmoved. And instead of answers to Herod's questions, there's nothing but unbroken silence. Jesus answered him nothing. I may be wrong, but as far as I know, this is the only occasion recorded for us when Jesus refused to speak to an individual. Can you imagine how Herod must have felt? I mean, he's toying with Christ and he's playing with him and belittling him, and he's reminding him who is the real king. And when he speaks to Jesus, Jesus answers him nothing. Wonder how you'll feel in a day that's yet to come, that having discarded Christ from your thoughts at this time, there's something happens in your life that perhaps turns your life upside down. An illness that leaves you on the verge of eternity. A car accident leaves you lying on your back in hospital, looking at the ceiling. Something that turns your life completely around, upside down, and you're standing on the verge of eternity, and you want answers to all your questions. And Jesus answers you nothing. Nothing. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ warned some in his day that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he encouraged them and he warned them and he woed them and he told them about the urgency of seeking him for salvation. Some wouldn't do it. Some, like Herod, turned their back on him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, one day in speaking to them, said to them as he looked them in the face, he said, "Look, you shall seek me, but you shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come." How terrible is that? You see, that's why, as far as the gospel is concerned, you and I need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while he's yet to be found. As the prophet says, call upon him while he is near. Wouldn't it be terrible if you sat in meetings like these, not just here in this local church, but in meetings throughout your lifetime, with every intention, I may say, that you're going to get right with God, to use your terms, and the day of opportunity pass you by. That you are indifferent, complacent, not as interested as you should have been. But the day come whenever life treats you badly, and death's approaching and eternity's to be faced, and you give these eternal issues some thought, you call out to Christ, and all there is unbroken silence. Not a word. You know, as a young man sitting in meetings before I ever was saved, I used to come into meetings and I used to look at the board, if there was a board with the hymns on it. And if I had a hymn book in my hand, I used to look up the numbers to see, just to see what the hymns were they were singing, and hoping that there was one hymn they wouldn't sing. Do you know what it says? Oh, sinner, God's patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you have drifted away over the dead line at last. What a day. When you've wasted all your opportunities, when you've shut the door of God's mercy forever, and when you've cut yourself off from His love in Christ. That's why I urge you to consider Herod. He knew about him, but he didn't know him personally. You need to know him personally, and you need to know him now while Jesus is passing this way. Because your opportunities will come and they'll go. Your cry might be too late. Tonight, God encourages you through His Word with these words. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Herod's life reminds us to reject such an invitation that we could call some other time. And our call be met with unbroken silence, and Jesus answer us nothing. Nothing. If you're not saved tonight, is it not time for you to seek the Lord and learn lessons from this man's life? Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to consider these characters that we have been brought to think about in recent weeks. Judas Iscariot, a man who walked with the 12 and didn't belong to them. Peter, following afar off. Herod, the man who belittled Christ, and Jesus answered him nothing. Is it not time to take a look at ourselves and our souls and really consider where we are just now and where we will be when life has run its course? Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not at once to decide. Will you do that tonight if you're not saved? Will you turn and seek the Savior's side? Father, you've caused us to look at some very interesting characters, all with lessons to learn for our own spiritual good. Would you help us therefore tonight just to think about these things honestly and personally, to see whether we be in the faith or not, and if we're toying with the Lord Jesus Christ and have no desire for Him, would you remind us, our Father, that these are days of privilege and opportunity that might well pass us by. Oh, have mercy upon us, we pray. And speak afresh to all our hearts. For Jesus' sake.